time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101, Recovery 101, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, CA, OA, GA, PA, SLA, SLAA, CRRR, MMDRA, HA, FAIR, the NFC,
CGA,
CGA, the KFC,
or any of them there, guys.
Or any of them there, or the Anons.
Yes.
Everything we say is our opinion and ours alone, because no one else would claim it to be theirs. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
Well, Shelley, how was your day? Well, you've had a lot of big news happen lately.
I have had a lot of big news.
Yeah. Let's hear it. You're going to be a gainfully employed writer?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, we've had a little time off.
Well, actually, the last week I've been using because I no longer work at the library.
I was going to say, Mark might not even know that.
Yeah, I know that.
He knows that. I think we talked about it on the last show, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
No,
we didn't? Oh,
no.
Yeah.
So everybody else didn't know, but I knew.
Everybody else didn't know.
No, because I met you guys the night the power went
out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because we couldn't record last because the power went out. Because
Laguna Beach was black.
Because, you know, they turned off our power for 14 hours one day so they could install some mo-bet-a-bitchin' device that would prevent unexpected power outages.
And then, like, the next week we had a power outage.
We had a freaking unexpected power outage. I'm like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I was really pissed.
Yeah.
So I'm no longer employed at the library, which has caused a little bit of emotional whiplash because suddenly, you know, part of my identity, honestly, was wrapped up in being the library lady. Other than the 2 years that I was off, because I was
the hot
whacked,
library lady.
I've worked or volunteered at that Brandy library since points. the mid-90s. And so it was what?
I said the hot library lady.
Oh, okay.
You glossed right over that. And then real quiet, I said brownie points.
Oh, okay. I was like, what the heck? So it caused a little bit of storm and wrong. But I have been using... A lot of people have been telling me that I needed to buckle down and start working on my writing. A lot of people. But the problem is I'd get home from work and I'd be too exhausted to do anything.
Well, now you've got time.
I talked to Bruce. We agreed. You know, he's being very supportive. And I'm using the hours that I used to work as my working hours on the book. So I'm actually at work.
Okay.
I'm just in my pajamas in front of the computer.
The book is going to be funny as all get out.
I'm 53. In 1 week, I've gotten 53 pages into it.
Very good.
Well, so, let me tell you something.
And 10 pages into my second book.
When Shelley is writing or editing and she starts cracking up when she's reading these things, I'm just like, if you can crack up at your own stuff, it's probably pretty funny.
Some of it I look at and I go, why the hell would I put that on the internet? And the other stuff, I read it and I go, that was actually pretty dang good.
Well, there you go.
Well, good.
So
I got to throw in something here. Our neighbor to the studio, this gal had bought something at my store. And she was asking something and I said, oh, we do a podcast. And she goes, oh, you do? I go, yeah, and do a radio show over it. She goes, I thought you guys were like doing karaoke or something. I see you out there with microphones. I figured you were doing karaoke. I'm like, yeah, no, not karaoke.
We're working on our band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a band.
We're putting the band back together.
That's right. We have a big show next week at the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah. We got a big show. What was the place they went and did a show in? The Blues Brothers?
Oh.
The Country Bar?
I can't remember the name of it. It's been a long time since I saw
what
that.
What kind of music do you usually play here? We play both kinds, country and Western.
Oh.
Ghost Riders in the Sky.
Well, we went to a Marvelous concert on Friday.
We did. We went and saw Van Halen.
Yes. Dave was challenged.
Dave was challenged. He's still the showman, don't get me wrong.
His voice
but
is
his
shot.
Voice is,
it's
you
gone.
Know, just not happening.
And there were quite a few places during the concert because the rest, you know, Wolfgang, Eddie, and Alex are like, it was perfect.
They were shredding.
Completely perfect. They sound like they sounded 30 years ago.
On a record.
Yeah. Brilliant. But there were points in the concert when I didn't actually know where we were in the song, except for when they kicked in with the background vocals. Because Dave, I kept sitting there thinking, come on, Dave, keep up, let's go.
And don't get me wrong, I love me some Dave. Yeah.
Half the time I'm thinking, did he remember the words? I mean, the audience is singing it better than he is.
Yeah.
I thought he looked kind of like Cloris Leachman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yuck.
And he had this giant white handkerchief. He kept fluttering around in front of his face like an old lady. I was like, wow.
Talk about the cane.
Oh, yes. And he had, it was a microphone holder. But I am like 99% positive that it's actually a modified cane.
Oh, yeah.
Because he spent quite a bit of time during the concert with the mic in one hand, leaning on the mic holder.
Well, you know.
He is 60.
He did the splits 3 times, though.
Yeah, but the 3rd time he almost couldn't get back up.
I was going to say, on purpose?
Yeah.
He didn't get all the way down, first of all. And the 3rd time he attempted it, he kind of did that old lady, you roll over onto your knees and push yourself up thing.
Let me guess, he doesn't do the big butterfly kick anymore.
No. He did do a couple kicks.
Yeah, but that looked a little painful.
Yeah, he's not doing the splits off the microphone stand, off the drum,
Not exactly Rockette material anymore,
no.
Huh?
No.
Okay. But it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And then, unfortunately, last night, we had to send one of our beloved kitties on his way.
To kitty heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And here, I thought, which is a bummer, shout out to Zen Suni, the mellowest cat ever. They gave us a cat they said was a biter.
Never bit a single person
and then,
in our house.
We said, no, that cat's so mellow, we call him Zen. He'd fall asleep with his face in the bowl.
Yeah. He'd sit in front of the window when we had the really low window. He'd sit in front of the window just staring for hours.
Yeah. But I'm surprised you didn't mention the gal on the bus,
the
shuttle
bus. Well, okay,
but
the banter is going on a little bit long. That's why I didn't.
It's okay. Banter a little bit.
We haven't been together in a while.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. First thing we get on the bus, I mean, literally, the bus isn't even full
within
yet.
Within moments.
And this woman starts screaming, put on some Van Halen! I mean, and what else did she say? Oh, do it right!
And
we're going to a concert.
Not nice about it. Like,
we're going to a fucking concert. Put on some rock and roll. I don't need you to hear this Justin Timberlake shit. No, it's Justin Bieber, she said.
Right. Well, yeah. Comes to an interesting question.
What?
When you go to a concert, do you listen to who you're going to go see? On the way to the show, or do you not listen to the person?
We did.
See?
We listened to him.
Okay.
Well, because KLOS was playing nothing but Van Halen.
Okay.
Because they were playing the Hollywood Bowl.
But they had like K-Earth 101 or something on the bus, and she was not digging it.
And by the way, for the record, it was not Justin Bieber. It was Omi, that cheerleader song.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
No idea.
It's like pseudo reggae. So anyway, and then the bus pulls out finally of the zoo lot because we went to the park and ride. What was it? Maybe 3 minutes into this ride, which took forever because traffic was brutal.
Yes.
All of a sudden, we hear her scream, "Fuck you!" I'm like, "What?" And she went on the whole over half an hour.
The whole time.
It's a long ride from that lot to
45 minutes at least, and she was. I'm divorcing you. I don't love you anymore. F you. F this.
We're done. Do you get it? We're done. Do you get it? I mean, over.
We're going
and
to
over.
Get off the bus at the end, and we just pull over, and we're getting off the bus, and I go, anybody else ready to get out? And everyone's like, yes.
The woman behind me said, thank God, that was the longest bus ride of my life, and I said, amen to that.
And the one gal driving the bus, when the chick was yelling about, put on some Van Halen, she I must have said it 100 times.
Yeah. Finally.
And the gal turns up the volume on K-Earth 101, which is like soft rock or whatever. And everyone in the front of the bus starts cheering.
Everybody was laughing.
Because they were hoping it would drown her out.
Good.
God, she was amazing. I felt so bad for her husband.
Oh, my God.
He said, because finally she's saying, do you get it? Do you get it? We're done. And he said, very softly, because I think only the people right around him heard
him. Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, and I heard him. He said, yeah, I get it, but you're drunk.
Got it.
Yeah.
So she's just
being
drunk.
I'm saving a seat for her. So how's your, what's going on with Mark?
Yeah, what's going on with Mark?
We had some fantastic food just a minute ago brought in by Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie sent, shout out to Debbie for the lovely food and for the cookies from last week.
Yeah.
Carrot cake muffins.
Carrot cake muffins, noodles, yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. I don't think Bruce actually ended up getting any of the carrot cake muffins.
No, I did not.
Whoops.
What carrot cake muffins?
What are you talking about? No, that was a long time ago, Shelley.
That was months ago.
Whoa, you missed those. Mark, how were the carrot cake muffins?
Outstanding.
So where's my carrot cake muffin, Shelley?
Right here in my belly. Yeah.
You missed it by that much.
Yeah, that was enough.
I put them on the counter.
I never even saw them.
Well, that's not my fault.
Did Mark have a cupcake, Brian?
I don't know. He might have.
I didn't bring you all of them.
No, there were like 5 in there.
Yeah.
There was 5?
Whoops.
And I didn't even get one?
I suck at this lying thing, don't I?
Mark, give her a shovel, quick.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe a backhoe. Yeah. She's digging a deep hole.
When you're in a hole, stop digging. We learned that in the program.
Oops.
So what have you been doing?
My aunt and my cousin were out for a visit from South Carolina last week.
Oh, nice.
Not so much.
No? Oh. No. Don't sugarcoat it.
So. No, it was just. Okay.
That good.
Not my favorite cousin.
Oh. But they came all the way out here to visit you? Or the way here to do the California thing and
not
you just happened to see them?
Well, my mother's 83. My aunt's 88.
Oh.
Which, we all know the purpose of the visit.
So they're coming out for a last visit.
At 88 and 88, but you don't need to sit there with your mother every day and go, you know, I brought you out here to say your goodbyes for your last visit you'll ever be able to make, last time you'll see your sister.
My.
I'm like, wow.
Oh. Holy crap.
Really?
I was kind of thinking about that. My mom went up to visit my aunt, and she's with
all three sisters
this timeshare, and I'm like, I was thinking about that.
Yeah, and you might even think it, you might even say it once.
No, no. You
probably
never
not
say
even
something
once,
like
but,
that.
But you might say it once.
I wouldn't
he
even say
He said
it
once. Because he wanted everybody to know what a good guy he was to take time off to bring his mother.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it once.
Yikes.
That's horrible.
Because his mother's the one who almost missed her flight a few years ago because she stood at TSA and argued with them that Katie Couric had said on the Today Show that you didn't have to take your shoes off in line anymore. She didn't understand why they were going to make her take her shoes off.
How old is she?
She's 88.
She doesn't have to.
She doesn't have to.
Over 75. Over 75, you don't have to. Matter of fact, I'll tell her about
that next
show.
Unless the TSA tells you to.
Well, that's true. And I heard this story from James. So what would you?
No, I'll tell it next show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'll talk about my adventures next show.
Yeah. So my cousin came out, and all I heard about was he makes the greatest pizza in the world. That's what I've heard from like 4 or 5 different people. So last Wednesday was my birthday. And I said, yeah, make pizza for my birthday. That'd be great.
Not so much.
They went to an Italian deli to pick everything up to make the pizza. Except the pizza dough. Because he has a special pizza dough he likes to make. He bought the 99-cent Pillsbury pizza dough, which you mix with water to make into dough.
Yeah.
It was like eating really good pizza toppings on a biscuit.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I could do that, though. I like Pillsbury biscuits.
Not on my pizza. I like Pillsbury biscuits, too, with butter.
Well, they make Pillsbury pizza dough.
It's
a yeast dough.
I've made pizza with Pillsbury biscuits before.
Yeah.
You know when they showed us how to do that? Home ec class in high school for the guys that don't know how to do anything. They're like, hey, here's some quick and easy pizza dough. And they tell you, this, pop out all the Poppin' Fresh doughs, put them out and roll them over with a...
Except for they went and bought everything else at a place that sells really good pizza dough.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, why didn't they just buy the pizza dough?
That's what I didn't.
You can get
out.
Actual pizza dough at Trader Joe's for a buck.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and probably much better.
Yeah. So
damn. You know what that means?
Oh dear. Okay.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
You almost flipped your lighter onto the floor as I was trying to tell you. Yeah.
No, that would be. That would be something I would do.
Uh huh.
Okay, let's see here. We have shout-outs.
I bet we do.
To Phil K., Neil, Brian, Bill, Stryker, Joey, Dan, Alexandria, Ron, Elizabeth, James, Jack, Dakota, Katie Uck, Natalie, Georgette, Carol, Ron, Randy, Damon, and John.
Katie Uck?
Yes.
Yay!
She actually didn't send anything in. I just...
Oh,
threw her in there.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, and Fran. We got to throw Fran in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, fantastic.
Fran and Katie can always be thrown in.
Yes, and Robert. We'll throw Robert in there, too. Why not?
Better to throw them in than throw them under.
Yes.
Phil sent this one in. This is from Asheville, Ohio. And actually, I had seen this. Somebody posted it on Facebook, and I bookmarked it. But we'll give Phil the credit because he actually took the time to, you know, copy and paste.
Send it.
Asheville, Ohio. John Morgan and Ashley DeBoe are in jail.
Why?
Because they are the dumb Facebook criminals of the week.
Awesome. What did they post?
They posted picture. First of all, they went in and robbed a bank.
Uh-huh.
And then immediately turned around, went home, and posted pictures of themselves on Facebook, flashing all this money that they got at the bank. Why there wasn't a dye pack in the bag, I don't know. But flashing all this money that they stole from the bank and captioning it that they had just... knocked over a bank.
Thank you.
It's like, it didn't really take that much investigating, I don't think, on the part of the police.
Okay, how long did it take the police to catch them?
Well, they did it the 22nd. They were arrested the 23rd.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. That's
dumb.
That's really dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Bill sent this story, and it's...
When Mark and I... rob banks, we never post anything.
That's right. That's why I don't have a Facebook account.
Oh, brother. Bill sent this story in, and I just found it interesting. It's not necessarily a newsy story, but it is. It's news. They think they have found, let's see, an archaeological team headed by Steve Collins of the Trinity Southwest University think they have found the lost city of Sodom. You know,
really?
That was raised by God after, you know,
is it next to a giant pile of condoms? Lambskin condoms?
Sodom and gonorrhea?
No. But they think that they found, because during that time, if you're looking at biblical history, that was the largest city around.
Where do they think they found it at?
Well, it's now
under
known.
About 600 feet of ashes.
It's in the southern Jordan Valley. They've been doing excavating in that area, and they came upon what ended up after... they did some digging to be a massive Bronze Age city,
now,
which would be in about the right time.
Yeah, when did they go public with this?
Well, the story was posted this last week. Why?
Because I think I saw something like on the Discovery Channel them talking about that.
It's called Tal el Hammam, is the where you know what it's called now.
Oh.
And I just thought that was interesting.
Oh.
What?
Kay. No, you know where I saw that?
Where?
Unbelievably, I saw it on the show Ancient Aliens.
Okay.
And the, well, they, what they
well,
were
sounds
saying
more like
is
what you'd what, be watching.
Well, what they were talking about is that they had found this city that they think is Sodom, and they're beginning to excavate. And of course, with the Ancient Alien guys, are it wasn't God that did it; it was some alien spaceship that blew it up.
Sure.
Clearly.
Yeah.
It's always aliens. Aliens.
It's aliens.
Oh, sitting on my cushion. Let's see. Now, Brian sent this story in, and actually this is a PSA. I thought this was pretty interesting. This also isn't a newsy story, but it is a public service announcement. There's something called popswebsite.com, P-O-P-P-S, website.com. That's the Prudent Opiate Practices and Psychological Services, and they help people get through post-acute withdrawal, which is where, because they've been finding more physical evidence to suggest that it takes a lot longer for us to physically recover completely than we think it does.
Oh.
you know, the initial cravings may subside in a few, physical cravings may subside in a few weeks or whatever. But they're saying it can take up to 2 years for your body to get completely back to normal before, you know, pre-addict stage.
And I'm not sure that's even true.
Yeah.
Well, and they found that there is a high rate, they found physical evidence for there being, you know, because we always talk about the birthday syndrome. People get their birthdays and they go out.
Yep.
In their studies, they've found that there is some physical evidence to suggest that people that are at certain time points in their physical recovery is 30, 60, 90, 120, 180, and 1 and 2 year points, that your body, almost like flashbacks from people that were taking, what do you flashback on?
LSD.
LSD. As your body heals, it like things come back up. And that people actually...
Angel dust, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, though. What? Besides the under a year, because we know lots of people go out under a year, what is the one time after like a year of sobriety when a shit ton of people go out?
35 months.
What do you think, Shelly?
Christmas. I don't know.
I always heard of 7 years.
Oh, yes. This
a lot of people go out at 7 years. Like it's like the 7 year itch or something.
Well, we knew somebody who's quite, you know, program famous. And actually, I knew him when I was a kid. Went out every 7 years like clockwork.
Eddie?
Yes.
Eddie I.
Yeah. Until he finally broke down and admitted something he'd never put on any fourth step. And it just came up every 7 years. And I don't know exactly what the mechanism was, but that was what drove him to drink every 7 years.
It's almost like rock and rollers in 27 years old. I mean, the amount of people. And, you know, I don't know if there's like a thing of like 38 years old where there's like a bunch of people that died at 38 years old as well. I mean, who knows? But there's like a lot of heavy hitters died at 27.
Yep.
Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix. And just like the list goes on and on. Shout out to 27 Tears Records out in Victorville.
Phil K sent this story in.
Philk.
And now I can't remember what it was about. Oh, now I remember. Biochemists at the Technical University of Dortmund in Germany have discovered a way to synthesize THC and cannabinoids for medical use out of yeast.
What?
It's not even marijuana. The compound itself can be synthesized
Leave
from
it
yeast.
Leave to a country that makes great beer to find another use
for yeast.
Yeast.
Yes. And
yeast, it's not just an infection.
They're hoping to, within the next couple of days, they're still testing stuff, but next couple of years, they're hoping to have it ready for large-scale synthetic production. Because the benefit is that they're finding that they are helping people with it, but they can't make it in large amounts right now. And it doesn't have the get-you-loaded side effects at all.
Oh.
So it works without getting people high.
So if I ever had problems with glaucoma from my diabetes,
right,
I could do this and I wouldn't get loaded.
Right.
Awesome.
Which is a great thing for us. And they've also found...
Don't snort it, though.
I thought this was interesting. In their initial trials of the cannabinoids that they were able to isolate, they found that it helps people with epileptic seizures. They found, like, they did a mini trial, because people always claim that that's what it that it helps that, but there wasn't really a lot of evidence to back it up. So I think that's quite interesting.
Good to know.
For them.
Yes. Elizabeth sent this story in. These are the assholes of the week. We don't have a sound effect for that. Wyoming, Joseph Richardson and Paulette Richardson from Eury, Wyoming, have been charged with involuntary manslaughter in the death of their son, 16-year-old boy.
Oh.
He died from alcohol poisoning. Apparently, he came home one day after having sneaking a couple of beers behind the shed or whatever with his friends. They wanted to teach him a lesson, so they sat him down and decided to let him drink. He passed out. They took him and laid him in his bed. She went back to check on him a few hours later, and he was unresponsive. He was dead. He died from alcohol poisoning. He was 7 times the legal limit. His blood alcohol was 0.587.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. That's me by like 10 a.m.
They're facing 20 years in prison if they're convicted, which I can't imagine that they wouldn't be because there were other witnesses
well,
to this.
Well, you know what the really sad thing is? How many people, and I can guarantee there's literally tens of thousands of parents that have done something similar. Oh, I'll teach you here. You drink this whole bottle of something. And the kid gets sick as hell, and, you know, to teach him a lesson. It's like, I don't know if I'd necessarily call them assholes. I think it's sad for them, actually, because they're trying to do something to help their kid by teaching them a lesson, and they taught themselves a lesson instead.
Let's see. Elizabeth sent this story in, too. This is in England.
Uck?
Yeah, in Uck. The Crown Court area. I don't know where that... Oh, Lancashire. Gabby Scanlon went out to celebrate her 18th birthday, and, you know, the
Happy
drinking
birthday.
Age is 18 there. And she got I guess it's popular now in bars to have those smoking drinks, you know, because they rinse glasses in liquid nitrogen or whatever to cool them off really fast.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to wait until it evaporates off.
Well, yeah.
But now it's popular for them. The bars will pull the glasses when they're still smoking, pour the drink so that there's that smoke coming off the top of the drink.
Yeah.
Because it looks cool.
Uh-oh.
So she ordered one of these drinks. And she asked the bartender if it was okay to drink it like that. He said yes. And then he said, drink it while it's still smoking. She drank it immediately.
Did you say this was nitrogen?
Yeah.
Isn't that really, like, really, really, really cold?
Yes.
Yeah.
What did it freeze on her?
It didn't freeze. It exploded her stomach.
Oh.
She had to be rushed. She felt an explosion in her midsection, had to be rushed to the hospital where they had to remove her stomach and bits of it that had come off in her body.
Ooh.
They had to attach her esophagus to her small bowel, so now she's on a liquid diet for the rest of her life.
Oh.
So she can drink another one.
So she's...
So there's quite a few lawsuits going on here.
I was going to say, just to be clear, she's suing them, right?
Well, the family that owns the bar... they're paying their fines. They are not contesting this at all. They're paying all her medical bills. They were horrified that the bartender would say this
their
or do
this. Their
insurance
is paying.
And
all her
I'm sure their
bills.
Insurance is going to pay whatever the other stuff is. But they gave her $30,000 up front to pay other medical because you know they have nationalized health care, but anything that wasn't covered, so that she could get the best care she could possibly get.
Uh-huh.
So the family of the that owns the bar are being good guys.
So they're like
the
heroes
bartender
of the week.
Is a complete asshole. Drink it while it's smoking. Really?
Bartender's an idiot.
Yeah.
I've seen someone do something like
that. Guy didn't move to the States and rob a bank last week, did he?
You ever seen a thing like where they throw like liquid nitrogen into a pool and stuff? There's all these videos on YouTube of like throwing these interesting things. Like it's like throwing magnesium into water. You ever seen that before?
Mm-hmm.
Magnesium is a metal. You throw it into water and it burns in water.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
And finally, Bill sent this one in. If you live in New York, New Hampshire, Minnesota, or Louisiana, after 2016, you are going to be required to have a passport to move between states.
What?
Yes, because, you know, God forbid that we don't all follow. The Congress passed in something called the Real ID Act, and I had no idea. The Department of Homeland Security was supposed to be phasing this in 2014. It will be complete by 2016. And that's the reason why California driver's license has changed, why we now have different – we have a strip on the back. We have different coding on the – you know, it looks totally different. They changed them a couple of years ago because of this. And apparently the driver's licenses in those four states do not meet the Department of Homeland Security's requirements for ID when traveling between states. Like if you get on a plane, you will not be allowed to board the plane unless you also have a passport.
If you're here completely illegally.
Well.
Because then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Hell you want, yeah. Well, you know.
So let me get this straight. So if I wanted to fly to New York, I'd need a passport?
No, you won't. If someone from New York wants to fly to California, they will.
Thank
your
God.
Our licenses.
Oh, I mean, that's horrible.
Our licenses meet the standard. Only people in New York, New Hampshire, Minnesota, and Louisiana. Those four states have refused
Not
to change
Florida.
Their licenses. Nope.
It's amazing.
That is. Brother.
Nanny states.
Yeah. Nanny states gone really? Wild. And that.
Louisiana?
Louisiana.
No, New York.
Yeah, but Louisiana's not a nanny state.
No.
No, it's not. Neither's Minnesota. Minnesota's one of the original.
Of course, Louisiana is still looking for their teeth. So.
Don't you know? Minnesota, don't you know?
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress, too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Recovery 101, clean and sober.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelly.
Get your microphone, Shelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm here.
So we have a topic, Mark. What is it?
Fuck you.
We're sitting here trying to figure out which topic to do.
We did a show once back in the day. Yeah. Long time ago.
The fuck show?
Yeah, fuck yeah. The fucking fucks. Yeah. We said the word fuck so many times.
By the end of the show, none of us had any idea what it meant.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Fortunately, it was on the internet. I think I still posted it as a show that didn't require parental supervision for.
It was a clean show?
It was a clean show.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, what do you think? Thug life to mug life?
Okay.
How do you want to approach that, Bruce?
Well, someone had sent this to me in a text about thug life to mug life, and how he was talking about the kind of preconceived notions we all have when we're out there about how gangster we are, or we're a drinker and, ooh, I can outdrink this other person, and, you know, you've always got those kind of things where, or whatever it is, I could drive drunk and get away with it, or I'm slinging drugs, and like we're these big thugs. And then we get sober, and you see this guy who was a big dope slinger and riding a Harley, and all of a sudden, here he is with his mug of coffee in a meeting. Or, you know, instead of how we used to go out to bars, now we're going out and meeting for coffee at Starbucks. And how the strange situation between going from what was the wild and crazy thug life to the clean and serene mug life. Like, as a for instance, Mark? Back in the day, you had some thug-like behavior.
Really?
You ever sling a little coke?
I had my moments.
You ever deal with any gambling or collections money or anything that would be considered, especially by the kids of today, because the kids of today, almost anything can be thug.
Well, you know, I mean, it's so funny because I listen to so many people in meetings over the years share about how badass they were when they were out there and about all the people they knew and who they, you know, who they ran with and who they, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of just shrug your shoulders. I mean, it's like I know a few people in this program that were some pretty serious guys.
So you're like the shug life.
They don't talk about it much.
Right.
You know, they just, I mean, they don't. It's just.
Well, the statute of limitations probably hasn't run out on some of it.
I think mine has on almost everything. So.
Yeah, mine has, for sure.
But even still, it's like, you know, I was sitting in a meeting one night in Pomona listening to this guy talk about what a badass he was.
And
like that's supposed to, you know what impresses? Newcomers.
Yeah. And I shared, and he kind of got a little put off that I kind of ridiculed him a little bit. Just a little.
Well, you know it'd be good. Here's a guy sharing about how badass he used to be and how he did this and he did this, and yeah. You lift up a 32-ounce coffee mug and go, look, dude. Yeah. This is it right here, man.
I can put this down, yeah.
I'm mug life, baby.
No, you know, and the thing was is there were a couple people in the meeting who I've known for a long, long, long time. One guy who I knew when I was out there. And he looked at me, he goes, isn't it funny, the difference in the way the two of you shared?
Yeah.
He goes, because I know where you were. I'm like, well, you know, we all had a life out there.
And you can kind of see where the difference is when someone goes from talking about the thug life to talking about the mug life.
Yeah, it's about the recovery. I don't talk a whole lot about where I came from and, you know, because did I run with some people? Yeah, I ran with some people.
Yes.
But I just don't see where that serves a purpose.
Anymore.
You know.
Who are you going to impress with
I don't
that?
Need to impress anybody. But when I came in, it's funny, because when I came in, I didn't want to impress anybody. Of course, when I came in, the statute of limitations was still alive and well.
You just wanted to get clean.
Yeah. It's like I just had this desperation to, what do I do to not get loaded anymore? One of the things I did was, A, to shut up. And B, to quit acting like I was something special.
True.
I've sat with people, and I mean, you know a lot of my story about my past.
Yes.
But that's for a group of close friends. That's for people in the program outside of meetings. Because I'm a firm believer that you got to know your audience before you start talking. And that everything you share in a meeting may not be a good idea to share it.
True.
So, you know, you stick to what you do in the meetings and you make some close friends that you can share anything with.
Right.
That's what sponsors are for.
Now, Shelly, you have somebody that you sponsor that's got like sober thug life, I think.
Yes, she. Well, here's the weird thing. She could totally be considered as having like a hardcore thug life when she was getting loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, she, yeah, there's, I'm not even going to talk about stuff that I've heard that she's told me about.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, wow. You know, if she'd ever gotten caught for any of that, there would have been serious deep kimchi.
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people.
But the funny thing was when she was doing that stuff, she was all wrapped up in a blanket of, I'm actually normal and I'm a sweet little girl. Now she got sober and suddenly it's all thug all the time. It's like she flipped, her real her came out in sobriety.
She's got like the thug mug life.
Yeah, it's weird.
I get Snapchats from her all the time and she'll be like sitting there, she's got all these piercings and she'll be looking, she'll be like, yep, I hang with these bitches, and then she's like, and my parents, they flipping rock. And then, you know, so she's got, like, her hanging with the homies, and then she's like, oh, I love my parents. And I'm like, it's like the transfer thug to mug.
But we know someone who's peripherally now in our group. I'm 99.9% positive that still waters run deep, because this person ran into the program because there was no place else for him to go. Got quite a few felonies. And we were sitting at coffee with this person one night. And some...
Did they move to a town called Weed?
Yes.
Great.
And some weird things started happening.
Oh, yeah.
And he instantly knew what to do and how to get himself and his girlfriend out of the situation. And I could tell immediately that this was not something that he didn't ever do before. He's been in nefarious or scary situations a lot. It was like his demeanor completely changed, and he was gone. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, this guy showed up at X2O with a gun.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And I get the impression from little snippets he's told me and things like that, that he was in a deep thug life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, as thug as you can get in weed.
Well, it wasn't just there.
But you know,
I mean,
what the thing is? I don't think the thug life has less to do with where you are and how you act. Because there's people that act like thugs that even clearly aren't thugs, but they think they're thugs.
Yeah, but he doesn't even act like
No, he doesn't act like a thug at all.
But he's like Mark said, he doesn't talk about it much.
True.
I have zero thug life. I had the mug life even when I had the thug life.
Well, you were probably drinking out of your mug.
I was drinking out of my mug.
I'd be like, is that coffee? She'd be like, yes.
Yes, why do you ask? I wouldn't even.
It's kind of purple.
I wouldn't even drive drunk. Mm-hmm. You know, once the booze came out, the keys went away because I have a paranoid fear of getting arrested. So I have zero thug life.
What about having the thug life that isn't drug centered? But having that life and showing up in the program to quit using drugs, but not giving up the life.
Well, you know what they say.
What do they say?
I used to hear this around program all the time. What happens if you get an asshole sober?
You have a sober asshole.
You get a sober asshole. What happens when you get a thug sober? You get a sober thug.
Yep.
Because I've seen guys like that. I remember I was at the Alano Club years and years and years ago. Matter of fact, San Francisco with Steve Young was playing in the Super Bowl. So, and this guy, and I was rooting for San Francisco, but there was some play called and there was a penalty. And I'm like, yeah, he clearly intentionally grounded the ball. Mm-hmm. This guy jumped up on the couch and like came up on me. This guy had like 15 years or something, came up and asked me to step outside. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm like, what a dick. And I got to tell you, I did what I always did, because I'm sitting around a bunch of old timers. You know, I've got Big Book Mac and Eddie C and all these guys around me with 20, 30 years. And I looked at this guy and I go, I don't have to live that way today. And then that really got him. He just started flopping around and I'm like, I got to tell you, I don't want anything you have, man. You got 15 years. I got like 30 days. I don't want anything you have. And the club ended up 86 in him. And, but this was an example of a guy, apparently when he used to bar drink, he was a rough and tumble fighter guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he got sober, he was still thought he was a rough and tumble fighter guy. Eventually one time, some guy, I believe who was with a small motorcycle club, named the Vagos, he invited one of them to step outside, and they did, and he got hospitalized. But, you know, it's like me. When I was younger, I never intended on being a thug. I mean, I was never trying to be a thug. My problem is after I have a few drinks, I like to fight. And the problem is I'm not that big. So, you know, and when I was doing cocaine.
So after you have a few drinks, you like to get your ass kicked is what you're saying.
Well, when I was doing coke and drinking, when I first got sober, I weighed 117, you know, and I'm 6 feet. I mean, I was just a tall drink of water. And, I mean, I weighed 50-something pounds more than that now. And you see me now. Can you imagine carving $50 off this body? Probably not. But so I was Captain Save-A-Ho mm-hmm. back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I had lost more than I won, for sure. And I was in this bar one time, and there was this old Vietnam vet there, and he looks at me, and he goes, come here, Bruce. And I go over to this guy, and he goes, what's your deal? I go, what do you mean? He goes, dude, you're constantly getting 86 out of here for fighting. I'm like, yeah, well, this guy hit this girl and everything. He goes, yeah, but you look like you're trying to fight in a boxing ring or something. And I go, what? And he goes, how come you never hit anybody with anything? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, the other night that guy hit you in the side of the head with a pool cue. And I'm like, yeah, that wasn't very fair. And he's like, dude, you're not fighting to be fair. You're fighting to kick someone's ass. He goes, next time you pick up a chair or a beer mug, and the very next time, I can't remember what, I picked up something and I hit the guy with it. Might have been a pool ball. And I hit the guy with it, and I hear this guy in the background go, yes! Yes!
Yes.
But I was one of those guys that the only way that really that my life looked like it was thug life was that I dealt a lot of drugs. Because otherwise, I wasn't one of those guys, you know, I wasn't going to carry a gun around with me. You know, there was nothing weird like that. Not that it's weird, but I mean, you know, people do what they do in the day. But I would be the kind of guy that I would, if I'm in trouble to do with drugs, I'm going to talk my way out of it real quick. I'm gonna do the Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire tap dance.
Yeah. Well, we did a lot of cocaine.
Yes.
And those who do a lot of cocaine tend to spend a lot of time alone. So the other person you're going to fight is yourself most of the time.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Because once I got really into coke, I didn't like anyone to be there with me.
No, because you had to share.
Yeah. F that.
Yeah.
I ain't sharing.
They could come long enough to share theirs.
Now, have you ever had someone you sponsor that was a thug that's having a hard time giving up the thug life for the mug life? Because we know some people. Remember the guy, and I can't remember his name. You'll know him right away. Was Tat Back. Tat Back. Think at one time he dated Debbie. What's that guy's name? He used to go to the Sunday night or the meeting over there at the Brick House. White guy, younger than us, Tat Back.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of thug-like.
He had his moments when he was out there. And but, you know, it's... Look, we've all got a story when we were out there. And...
How do you help someone that you're sponsoring get past that?
If they want to, and they're willing to, I'll work with them on it. Not a requirement.
No.
You know, it's like... I got sober... And I got clean in 1985.
Yes.
I was doing what I did when I got here in 2002.
True.
So, you know what? Not a requirement. My sponsor knew about it.
For about the first 6 months I was in program?
Yeah.
I was stealing cigarettes on a daily basis and selling them to people at the club. I did that for a good 6 or 9 months.
Yeah. Whatever gets you to the next day.
True.
You know, but I didn't see any need to stop doing it. My sponsor didn't see any need for me to stop doing it. It's like, look, that's what you do. It's what you know. I'm not going to even tell you I got more spiritual about doing it. I did what I did. There's, you know, because we've had the conversation about there's program life. And I hate to say it, there's program life and there's real life.
True.
And they're not always the same.
True.
Because there's a reality to how we live our lives.
It's like there's Facebook life and there's real life.
Exactly.
Shelly, what does your shirt say?
Not the one you have
not
on now.
Not the one you have on.
What?
The Facebook life?
Oh, it says, may your life someday be as awesome as you pretend it is on Facebook.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of that too. Pretend how life your great is when you're sharing in recovery, and it may not be a exact. Shelly, someone is you're sponsoring someone. They're thug-esque, and they're having problems becoming mug-esque. How do you help them through that?
As long as they're staying sober, I just let them roll with it for a while. Because the thing is, I hear a lot of, especially young people. And they come in and they talk the way they talk. And they're disrespectful and they do the things they do. But that's because at that time, that's what they know. That's how they know to protect themselves. That's how they know to keep from throwing themselves away. That's all they know at that point. And you can't, I'm not going to turn around and tell somebody, okay, you need to stop cussing. You need to do this. You need to, you know, that's not my job. And that wears off after a while. They calm down. They realize that they're safe and they're not hanging around with that element anymore, and they can actually start to develop into a normal human being. Mm-hmm. But I have a certain amount of tolerance for that sort of talk, because in my head I said, I'm listening to people sharing in meetings talking about how, you know, badass and nefarious they are, and I'm going, oh yeah, you're full of crap. And I smile at them, because eventually that goes away. But at that point, I can be completely tolerant of that, because that's what they know. That's all they know how to protect themselves. emotionally. They have, they're still seriously emotionally damaged, and that's what they know. And I'm reluctant to take that security blanket away from somebody. Now, if it strays over into the realm of romancing the drug, I shut that crap down. But
romancing the stone?
Yeah, I still have guilt because I kind of went off on the Thursday meeting again.
Did you?
Yes.
Yes, she did.
Oh, God. And I had a really good analogy for it. What was it? Somebody in the group who, well, somebody rather central to the group actually went out. Oh, I said we all yep. come in here carrying a bunch of shit. And the marvelous thing about shit is if you let go of it, it rolls downhill. It rolls away from you. So unless you run after it and catch up with it, you don't have that shit anymore. And this person in the group,
secretary of the meeting, ran downhill and chased it.
And I said, and you know what pisses me off? Because he ran downhill and chased his shit, and he didn't have to. And there had been a certain level of romancing it going on that night, and I kind of went off again. Because I don't like that. It's like, and it's not just for the newcomer that I don't like that. And to me, that's part of the whole thug thing. You know, when they start romancing it to talk about how badass they are. That part of it bugs me. Sorry, I'm losing my voice again. My voice hasn't been right since Van Halen. If you hang on to that one little part of your thuggishness, you're not progressing, and you're pulling other newcomers back with you, making it look glamorous, and it's not. So that's the part that I put down. But the other stuff, you know, it fixes itself after time once you've started working the steps and you get some time under your belt, unless you're one of my sponsees, and then it goes the opposite direction.
So, if we were going to wrap this all up in a neat little bow, what would your final words on the thug life to mug life be?
I love coffee.
coffee. Java, cappuccino.
I was just never really thug to begin with. And it kind of actually amuses me when people apply badassery labels to me because I'm just so not that way.
You are badass.
I'm
Shelly.
I'm cussing people out in a meeting wearing mom jeans and a Partridge
Family
T-shirt.
What was your nickname?
Oh, Kick-Ass Shelly.
There you go.
Yeah, but that was just Connor.
The only person
I've
ever seen that brought an actual bullhorn to a meeting to keep it in control. And who gave you that?
Oh, Robert, our friend Robert.
Robert M.
Yes.
So, Mark, final words on thug life to mug life.
Don't drink and use no matter what, and work the steps, and live whatever life that brings you.
Sweet.
You know, actually, I thought of something.
Right. Oh, good. Say it.
We're talking about the thug life, but kind of when we get sober and then we're helping other people get sober, that's kind of thuggish because we're in the trenches of recovery, and that's kind of brutal.
That's thuggery. That's mug life.
Yeah, but in that process, it's pretty brutal. I mean, we've all picked people up out of the curb, you know, and that process, that emotional process is pretty, to my way of thinking, thuggish because normal people don't go through that.
Well, what I was going to say is my final words is I think the mug life, along with what Shelley's saying, the mug life can be as thug as most of the things I did when I was out there because I have been to some incredibly shady areas in some incredibly. I went and pulled a guy out of a crack house where they had MAC-10 machine guns on the wall. Now, when I was out there, there was a couple instances where I actually was in some places where some people got shot. But I mean, in sobriety, I have been to places that were easily as bad as anywhere when I was out there doing it. So I think that just because you're living the mug life doesn't mean you're immune from the thug life, especially when you go to work with people.
So to wrap us up, it would be kind of you can do anything you want to do in sobriety as long as you're willing to pay the price.
That's right, Christian existentialism. Yeah. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting, do something different. Ah! Yeah. Shelly, who are our friends back east?
Do we have any friends left back east?
Who are friends in
the
Inland Empire?
The Inland Empire, we have 12stepgazette.com/IE. You can go and read the Southern California edition of that lovely newsletter.
We have an ad running in there.
We have an ad in that one?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We don't seem to have anything at 12-Step Gazette anymore.
No, but, in fact, but we've been replaced.
But we have an ad in the IE.
Okay, good.
So that's awesome. Mark, people yes. listen to the show.
Thanks. Oh. Should I expound on that a little bit?
Sure.
However you listen to the show, we appreciate it. We ask that if you don't already, that you go to our site at recovery101.net. We'll take you to Podomatic, where you can become a member of Podomatic. It is free.
Free and fun.
Yes. And once you become a member of Podomatic, you can you will get updated as to when a new show goes up. You can also like shows. You can comment. If you're commenting on a show and you have some idea of something you'd like us to talk about, feel free to drop us a little note. And you can add us to your playlist for all your party needs.
And if you want to join Facebook, it's actually really easy.
Actually, if you want to join Podomatic on Facebook.
All right, yeah. If you want to join Podomatic and you're on Facebook, it's really easy. And all you got to do is say sign in with Facebook. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you'd like to join the secret group, so that you don't necessarily have to let other people know that you're in recovery or whatever, if you want to join that, you can send me a message at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, or you can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, or actually there's others, but they will be happy to sign you up to that group. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. So, Shelley, who's the lead-out music by?
Electra.
Electra. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the end, and I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone, and I've been desperate and searching for something. I have been to the end, with no one there to catch me from falling. Take my hand. Take care.